Where are we now?
Sorry to those who are remote. I was muted and not on video. We're on the Mishnah Chafez and Mefez. The next Gemaras are, I don't say not my favorite Gemaras, but they're going to deal with mostly issues that relate to their bodily functions and Kriya Shema and Tila and things like that. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Chafez and Mefez says, person is standing in the middle of davening. So now you understand the connection to what we've been dealing with until now. So this is a segue, but now we're going to deal with sort of all bodily functions. The person is in the middle of davening, middle of his Shmon Esrei Amida, and then he remembers that he was a Balkari. So lo yasik, he doesn't need to stop, interrupt, and just terminate his Shmon Esrei, because he shouldn't. Again, the Mishnah is working with the idea that there is Takanas Esra. And then for davening and Kriya Shema and learning, you need to do tefillah. Even though we don't do it anymore, but in the time of the Mishnah, it's still assumed. So the Mishnah says, "La yasik eli yikasa." You don't say, you know, "Refrain Hashem Refrain." Oops. Stop. But rather, okay, you say "Baruch Hashem Refrain Chalam Yisrael." You maybe say a few words from each bracha. You say the end of the bracha, and you finish your Shmona very quickly. That's what you do. Then the Mishnah says, "Yorad Lishol." Let's say a person is a Balkari. And he goes down, he goes into the mikvah to immerse himself. And then, of course, the problem is the clock is ticking. And Zman Kriya Shema is coming. Now, I assume that this same principle could be applied if you're at the end of Zman Kriya Shema. Meaning if you're at the third hour of the day, and we'll call it 9 a.m. on the 6 to 6 day, if the end of Zman Kriya Shema is coming, you face the same dilemma. It happens to be in the Mishnah, amazingly enough, you're not facing the dilemma of Zman Kriya Shema actually ending, but you're facing the dilemma of the ideal Zman Kriya Shema being there. Because remember, the ideal Zman Kriya Shema is right before sunrise. So the person immerses in the water, and they realize that sunrise is coming. So the Mishnah says, "In yochol lalos u'mehisasos v'mikros ad shelo tehei honei tzachama," if you can, climb out of the water, put on enough clothing that you're covered, and to read Kriya Shema before the sun rises, yala v'yiskasa v'yikra. So then that's what you should do. You should get out of the water, cover yourself, and read Kriya Shema. But the imla, if not, v'yiskasa b'mayim v'yikra. You should cover yourself in the water and read. So we're going to have to talk about what exactly, how do you cover yourself in the water. It doesn't mean with clothing. It might mean that you stir up the bottom of the mud or something like that. So your erva is invisible, right? One of the concerns with Kriya Shema is you can't have libo roa es erba, right? You can't be physically exposed. So if you're in water, waters can be clear. So that would be an issue. So what you have to do is you might have to, you know, again, they weren't going to the mikvah in our mikvahs. They weren't in mikvahs that, you know, that we would consider acceptable. If we had their mikvahs today, we might
run in the ocean or whatever.
What's that? Yes, we probably wouldn't have taras hamishpacha if we insisted that women go in the kinds of mikvahs that they went in. So it is the equivalent of the ocean, but maybe even not as clean as the ocean in the sense that it's a hole in the ground where there's the water there. So it can be pretty dirty, pretty muddy. So in this case, this person is supposed to, stir up the mud so they're covered.
Well, this came up during COVID because my daughter-in-law would get questions because people wouldn't want to, either couldn't go to the, you know, they're afraid to go to a mikvah and want to go in like the ocean.
Well, you can go in the ocean. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I did one place to be like Kalen. Actually, you know, it's not in the Hudson, not where there's a river, technically speaking, but not too far north of the bridge in the Hudson River. It's a tidal estuary. That's the ocean. So you can do tefillah as well. You just have to have a place. Tefillah kalim, it's not a problem, what I was doing. For real tefillah, obviously, you want some privacy. But yes, you can use the ocean. You can use the ocean.
But you can't use tefillah kalim in a river, you say?
A river is something is a flowing river is a big suffix. It's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. It relates to the fact, I don't think this comes up anywhere. No. In order for flowing water, what's called zochalim, to be kosher for tevilah, it has to be a majority of spring water. It can't be a majority of rainwater runoff. The definition of rainwater versus spring water, what we call mei nikva versus mei mayim, is rainwater is anything that enters directly from not going through the aquifer or runoff. Anything that's going, obviously,
measure that.
So that's a big question. There's a dispute in the time of the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara, I think, six parts in Shabbos.
Mm.
And, it remains a major machlokas. I think in medieval Ashkenaz, many people did use rivers, but it was really held to be a questionable practice. So a river or a stream is typically not, certainly questionable in terms of usage, but the ocean is not considered flowing. It doesn't matter, you know, that the water goes back and forth. So that would be, accessible to make. So the Mishnah then continues, the lo yiskase lo b'mayim hara'im v'lo b'mei ha-mishra. A person should not, the Gemara's gonna, I'm gonna translate this, but I'm not gonna explain it because there's something, the Gemara's gonna say there's something missing in the Mishnah. So it doesn't even make sense. A person shouldn't cover himself in mayim hara'im, which means, smelly water, ma'arash is mayim surufim, or mei ha-mishra, that's water which they soaked flax. Until you add water to them. Forget what this means now. This is something that makes no sense until the Gemara introduces its textual insertion. How far do you have to keep away, it would seem, from these things of water, these filthy water, this smelly water, and from excrement? How far, when you daven, do you have to be away from them? Because you're not allowed to daven in a place that's considered dirty. So if that's actually from the Pesukim and Parshas Kisesi, the Torah says when you go out to war, that you have to have proper instruments for hygiene, and you have to cover whatever you leave, because Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalech Bekerach Machanecha L'Hatzir Chavalasech Ovecha Lefanecha V'Hayom Machanecha Kadosh. So it's assumed that for God's presence to be there, which is what's required for davening, which is required for reciting Dvarim Shebet Dusha, so you have to have a place that's clean. So that's why, it's because of this, that the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time talking about these issues. But for the moment, I'm going to ignore the last line. It's hard to understand exactly what that means until the Gemara makes its innovation. Okay, so now the Gemara begins. Tanu Rabban. Haya obey Vatzila. A person is in the middle of his or her amida. In this case, it's his. Or could apply to a woman as well. And the person remembers, oops, I needed to go to the mikvah for Tachanas Nazar, and I didn't. Lo yastik, ele yikasser. So you're not supposed to interrupt, but you shorten it. That's what the Mishnah, the Braisa says exactly what the Mishnah says in this regard. Faya kore batoro, viniskashu balkari. He's reading, the Torah. Okay, he was called up for an aliyah. Let's just keep it simple. He is the balkari, and he's getting the aliyah. So he's reading the Torah, and in the time that this Braisa was written, everybody read their own Kriya. So he's reading the Torah, and all of a sudden he realizes it's Kashu Balkari. So Balkari is not allowed to study Torah, he's not allowed to read Torah, he's not allowed to teach Torah. So what does he do? Eino masik v'oleh. You don't stop right there. Ela megamgen v'koreh. So megamgen, Rashi says here, you read quickly. Now get through the Aliyah quickly. I mean, you know, you do kind of wonder, people are going to be looking at you, we're reading nicely, slowly, carefully, all of a sudden, we start rushing. But okay, fine. Everybody else will figure it out. All right, so that's what you do. However, Rav Meir Omer, Ein Balkari Rashai Likos, the Torah Yosem Yishloshet. So Rav Meir says no, that once the person realizes that he cannot be reading in the Torah, so basically if he has read three Pesukim,
it doesn't make a difference where you start.
Presumably, you know, they don't go into the details.
Right, because it has practical limitations.
I'm just trying, no, it does. Well, not for us, but yes.
No, but for other areas, in terms of stopping in the place where...
Right, no, I agree, Larry. When we need to stop, whatever we need to stop, we have rules. You can't stop, if you're not at an actual partial break, you can't stop within 3 Pesukim of it, and so on, etc. You don't have to stop in the most certain places.
Right.
But I say it's not passive for us because we don't keep at Hakadosh Ezra.
Right.
So you can be, what's that?
I'm just saying looking from the other perspective.
No, no, correct. So what I'm trying to remember, Larry is raising the point, but yeah. Amir says he reads three Pesukim after
none. More. In other words, if you have two more you can finish, if you have one more you can finish,
right.
If you have
three
more you can finish, but four you can't.
Well, no.
You know, once you've done, once you've
read three, let me step back.
When you are called,
one second, Josh, let me explain. When you're called to read from the Torah once upon a time, you know, without our everything it says in the Chumash, where the first Aliyah begins, let's forget that. Our Aliyahs are mostly, we fix them, but as we set them, but really, you have enormous flexibility. There are only a small number of rules about where you can or can't stop. So, in the time of the Mishnah, you got called up to read, from the Torah, so you would start with the last person left off, you have to read at least three psukim, right? Less than three psukim is not acceptable. So you have to read at least three. Beyond that, there are rules where you can and can't stop. Right? You can't stop if you're not at a parsha break itself, but there's a little gap there. You're not allowed to stop if there's only one or two psukim to a parsha break or from a parsha break. Whatever, the Gemara explains why we're afraid people can come in and out between the aliyos, are going to think that the last person only read two, or that the next person only read two. They're very concerned about that. So there are a couple places that you're not allowed in the Tochacha, in Parshas Tochacosai, the long Aliyah, the curses, that you really cannot stop in the middle. But that's pretty much it. And then there are things that we don't do. We try to avoid other things, but certainly in the Gemara, those are the main things that come to mind. So Larry is suggesting that, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that once the Bakari is read three psukim, he shouldn't read anymore because it's enough for an Aliyah. Well, yes, except for what if he's at a place that he can't stop? So the question I'm going to raise, just in this context, maybe Rabbi Meir would agree with you, but you have to look at the Gemara and Megillah. What is the origin of those prohibitions ending in certain places? If they're only from the Amorai, which they might be, I'm not sure. If it's from the Amorai period, maybe then the Tana Inquiry, they didn't hold of it yet. So Rabbi Meir wasn't concerned about that. I just don't remember, except for the Mishnah does say, I'm pretty sure it's in the Mishnah, that you can't interrupt in the middle of the Tochacha. That one you can't stop. So what would Rabbi Meir say if you're in the middle of reading Parshas Tochacha? Would he say that you fit, you know, that long Aliyah? Maybe he would say you finish it. He's just saying, generally speaking, right? If there are a standard case. Yes. This does come up. Larry's going to get mad at me now because I have a project that's still sitting on my desktop but unfinished, and I owe you this from a few years ago. Is what do you do when you find an error in the Torah in the middle of reading?
Yeah,
no, I know, and I wrote up a sheet, but I never quite finished it because I was kind of got stuck on it. After talking to Schefter about a couple of the details, and I just like couldn't quite finish it. But the basic views, so the one that everybody likes to do, but it should not be the practice for an Ashkenazi shul, is you just stop where you are, take out a new, don't make any brachos, and just continue in the new Sefer Torah if you have it.
So you continue from the exact same spot you left off.
Yeah. Priscilla said, finish the pasuk, saw the error, start from the next pasuk, no brachos. That's the Mechaber's position. Even though that's not the Ramah's position. The Ramah has a funny hybrid position that most of the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz say that what you do, that this is the deal. If you're in the last Aliyah and you can't add any more Aliyahs, you just finish it. You finish what you have to finish. If, however, you're kind of in a normal time in the middle of a Parsha, so what you do is you go to the next place that you can stop, which means you have to have read at least three psukim, and you can't stop at a bad place. But you go to the next place you can stop legitimately. If you are at a place that you can stop when you just read this pasuk, you stop right there. You make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. You take a new Sefer Torah out, and you make a bracha on that.
And you start reading
from where you left off. Where you left off.
Even though you read through the mistake.
Correct. You read through the mistake. You pick up from where you left off. And again,
you
when
correct
you
correct the mistake.
What's that?
You correct the mistake.
Well, no. When you say mistake, we mean a mistake in the writing of the Sefer Torah.
I understand.
Well, on Shabbos, you can't do that.
No. If you correct the Baal Korei,
the Baal Korei then stops the sentence with the wrong word.
Well, presumably, yes. We would tell him to read it correctly, the way it should be, not the way it is.
You don't reread that sentence in the new Torah.
No.
You keep going. You stop.
You go to that word you've never read in the
Torah.
Listen, most of the time when there's a mistake anyway, Baal Korei reads it correctly, and he realizes there's something written wrong. It also happens to be that the overwhelming majority of mistakes are not mistakes. They're either breaks in letters, you know, things like that make the Sefer Torah puzzle. So you're stopping because the Sefer Torah puzzle, not because the letters are wrong.
So in our case, I think it was the letter was wrong.
Right. So it also...
He read it, I think, as it was written.
Okay.
He did his job.
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid in KJ. I remember seeing it. Normally I don't look in the Torah. I remember seeing it.
Right. Okay. So it can happen. It certainly can happen.
I
once had a bar mitzvah.
Middle school, I remember the Baal Korei, I don't remember the parts or the mistakes.
I had a bar mitzvah kid who I taught, and I'm very proud because he was reading Parshas Vayikra. It was a pretty new Sefer Torah. It had a computer check done on it, and the word, I think it was Imincha al-Machavas Korbanecha, and there was no Vav. It was just missing, totally. And he read the way it was supposed to. Everybody screamed at him, was like, okay, new Sefer Torah time. So you certainly can have letters missing. Most of the typical
Ritzel especially read basically, they're barely reading the words.
Correct. Yeah. So bottom line is, when you finish the pasuk in which the mistake is, assuming you started it, and if you're able to stop there, you stop there, and then take a new Sefer Torah. If you can't stop at that place, then you go to the next place you can stop. And if it happens to be the last Aliyah on a day that you can't add aliyahs. For example, during the week, if it's the third person, the third aliyah, you're not allowed to add a fourth aliyah on Monday, Thursday, or probably Shabbat Simcha. So if you see an error in the Sefer Torah in Shlishi, or in, you know,
right.
Then, or Yisrael, you just finish the aliyah. You don't do
anything. And I assume if it's in the mosque, are you taking a new Torah again because you don't want to read it correctly?
What do we do if it's in the mosque? I'm pretty sure you would take out the new Sefer Torah from us. Yeah.
Okay. A different story here. Somebody took out a Torah that wasn't being written, and it got delayed for the COVID, and somebody accidentally put in the arm. And we really put a Torah that wasn't kosher for a while.
Well, the truth is, if you permit the Batala for one moment, there is a tshuva, it's one of the most embarrassing tshuvas ever written in Jewish history. It's still Hashem, the tshuva was written by one of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Nodav Yehuda. The Nodav Yehuda was asked the following question. A Jew had undertaken a business partnership with the Goy, and he'd taken an oath, you know, and he'd sworn on a Sefer Torah that he would or wouldn't do something. And then, he wanted to back on his end. He said he didn't owe the money because the Sefer Torah was possible. So the Nodav Yehuda was asked by one of the Kaiser's officials, is this true according to the Jewish religion that he's not bound by his oath because the Sefer Torah on which he swore was possible? So Nodav Yehuda, the tshuva, it's hilarious in that, I don't know if hilarious is the right word, he starts just by quoting stuff in pasuk after pasuk in the Torah that it says you're not allowed to take a false oath, and it doesn't say anything about what's called Matitas Tefes, holding on to an object. Right? Doesn't say anything about it. So it doesn't matter, and it's true, of course, the Shavuah is equally binding whether or not you held an object or not. The violated is a violation of a severe prohibition of Shavuah Sheker, whether you held a sacred Torah, any mitzvah, why you took the Shavuah. But then he says, and this is why it's relevant, Larry, to your comment, he says something very clever, besides which, you know, when, even if there's a single mistake in the sacred Torah, so a sacred Torah is composed of 5 chumashim. In principle, each chumash stands in its own right, and the only reason why they used to have chumash in individual style, but the Gemara in Gittin says you're not allowed to read from a chumash in public, the Kriyas HaTorah, because it's not Kavarat Tzibur. That means if you literally had no, some of the Rishonim, if you have no Sefer Torah, and all you have is a chumash, so b'di'evet, you read out of that chumash. Not our printed chumash, but a real Sefer Torah chumash, just one chumash. So the Nodav Yehuda said, listen, even if the only reason why the chumash we don't read in is because it's Kavarat Tzibur. But really, each chumash has its own kedusha. Therefore, if he swore in a Sefer Torah where even one chumash didn't have a mistake in it, that's the chetz l'shul mitzvah. Totally unnecessary.
Oh, wow.
So the comment I was going to say for you is that if they hadn't finished the Sefer Torah, but you were reading in Bereishis HaShemot, and they finished that Sefer, it wasn't ideal, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Well, the conclusion of the Nodav Yehuda tshuva was?
Well, of course he's bound by the oath. Right, it's a chil Hashem that has to be written. It's like okay. Moshe having
so not
to write
the chil Hashem, but because there was one
part
of the Torah that was kosher.
Because
one part.
No, the chil Hashem is that some Jew behaved this way, and he had to write a tshuva to say, no, this is not the way we think. It's like when Moshe having to write a tshuva about the regions, that it's also to steal the regions. And then Moshe has to write on the tshuva, but Chas v'Shalom, he doesn't believe such a thing is possible. He thinks people who hate yeshivas are making these things up about them. I'm sure Moshe knew exactly what was going on, but I think you had to write that because otherwise it's like, yeah, it's also to do this, and I have to tell you this.
That sounds like a Munchie Shiloh, because I had a guy who came out with a crucible. He wrote a crucible, therefore he said he didn't owe me the money he owed me.
He wrote a crucible, or you didn't write a crucible.
What no, I did.
Oh, you wrote a crucible. Okay.
Yeah, but there's...
Because of the
over?
Because of the...
Yeah, because...
Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Rabbi
Leader. Yes, Marshall.
Good morning. Quick question. Sure. So, let's... By something like Wednesday in the summers, occasionally we know that we're not going to get a minyan. Obviously, we have a Sefer Torah that goes without saying. We still get together Shabbos morning, and we sit down with a bunch of chumashim, and we sort of take turns and actually lane the whole parsha out of the Ilya, just to keep the continuity of hearing the parsha and having everybody lane. Nobody has learned the whole parsha, so it would be very difficult, to say the least, if there are 5 or 6 of us, to have somebody have to learn the parsha and take out the Sefer Torah and lane it from that. I just don't think that would work.
Okay.
There's another video that Sfaras say that we should not be laning out of the Chumash because we have a Sefer Torah 30 feet away in our Aron.
I'm not sure it's connected at all. Nobody who that is just observing that the reason why you can't read out of a real chumash when you have to read Kriyas HaTorah Fitzibor is because it's not Kavarat Tzibur. But really, Meikar Hadin, really by right, that Each chumash has its individual kedusha. It's a complete object of a mitzvah, even though the Sefer Torah is not complete. So in other words, we would say for the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, you don't fulfill that.
It's almost like a chesed shel Torah.
Right. I call it a chesed shel mitzvah. Each one, it has kedusha. It has kedusha of a Sefer. Has to be treated like that. But you can't lechatchila use that b'tzibur to fulfill kriyas Torah. But if you don't have a tzibur, then there's no obligation to kriyas Torah.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure there was no, like, gnai to the Sefer Torah that I didn't think about. That's about it. You shouldn't do it when it's nearby. But, okay, all good.
No,
the right answer.
That maybe you shouldn't use the Sefer Torah at all, because I don't think that's correct. But the Ufalachar would say you shouldn't use the Sefer Torah because, don't use the Sefer Torah unless we're reading. Right. In the same way that we don't like to move the Sefer Torah for an ad hoc minion and so on, which is really not truly Ikar Hadin, right? You take the Sefer Torah because you take the big letters because you want to learn, right? So, okay. We don't typically, if you come to, if you have a Tanakh shir or a Chumash shir in KJ, you don't usually go plus the great power of the arm. A, it's lofty, it's not so convenient. It's much easier to use a Chumash.
Yes.
But really, the purpose of a Sefer Torah is to study from it, to read from it. So reading B'tzibur is only one piece of that particular mitzvah or set. Okay. So, Rabbi Meir said basically, shorten it as much as you can. Tan Ida, we have another brisa, 5 lines from the bottom of Chafez and Mazay. Hayaome Vesila, Viroes Soa Kinegda. A person is in the middle of his Amida, and then he looks up and he sees that in the distance in front of him is some type of excrement. We'll have to talk later, the Gemara will talk about what type of excrement qualifies in this context. Let's say it's human excrement. So, what does he do? So here, he should literally move in the middle of Hamida. Mahalech lefanav, you should walk forward, ideally, actually, zvekenu lachor of Dalaramas. So it should be Dalaramas away from you, but behind you. As we're going to see, I believe this is the way the Torah quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to something like Soa, you have to be Dalaramas away, if it's to the side or behind you, but if it's in front of you, it has to be Kimlal Einav. You're not supposed to be able to see. So here the Bryce says you should go in front of it so it's behind you 4 amos.
Just how much is an amo?
Let's say 19 inches. Let's say 21 inches. So 4 amos we'll call 7 feet. Something like that. So it should be 7 feet behind you and you're not facing it. So then the Gemara says Tanya. But we have a brisa that says that you should make sure you leave it 4 amos lissadim to the side of you. Not that you should make sure to run in front of it, go in front of it and have it behind you, but 4 amos to the side. So the Gemara says, lokasha hada efsha hada lo efsha. It depends. Ideally, you should be 4 amos in front of it and not see it. However, if you have no choice, let's say Rashi says there's a nahar, right? You're going in that direction. I presume it never occurred to the Gemara to say to turn around and to have it dalam away from you because maybe you want to be facing in the right direction. So you, if you can't, if the tsoa is between you and the river, and there's not more than 4 amos of space between it and the river, instead you should move to the side 4 amos.
And you cover it up?
No. You don't cover it up. If you could cover it up, then you wouldn't need. You might not need some of the distance. Mm-hmm. We will get to see all of the gory details. Right? This is mostly foreign to us because of the kinds of bathrooms that we use and kind of the hygiene that we typically engage in. You rarely encounter these things. It's not impossible, but you
children.
What's that?
Well, I guess
with a child in shul, right? So even then, you have to talk about what exactly is the status. So all those issues do get discussed. But for us, that might be almost one of the only contexts in which it occurs. Okay, I'll tell you where
the davening on the street.
What's that? If you happen to be davening on the street for whatever reason, well, there it's more likely to be animal excrement, which it may be not as hum or as there may be a limited number of kinds that are more problematic. I'll tell you where the shayla does come up in various sizes. It comes up with people who are dealing with medical conditions where they either have a catheter, right, or what's the right. So those are there is material in halakhic literature that deals with those situations. How do we deal with those? But for the most part, outside of those contexts, I've never certainly received the shayla. Well, correct, right. If you're right. But some of that's very same reason.
Yes.
But outside of that context, I've only gotten a couple of shaylos like this, but I think, I'm sure you hang around long enough, many people get far more shaylos than I do, and you probably come up with some other crazy hefi timsa you know, where you'll find such a thing. But typically speaking, that's where I've encountered this in this context. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says to do. 4 amos away on the side, unless you can go in front of it and it's behind you. Amar Rava, so how you miss halal, let's say a person is davening, umata saw them come. And then they discovered, maybe even after they finished davening, that there was excrement there. They weren't allowed to daven. They didn't notice it somehow. And there was within Dalai Lama sometimes. Amar Rava, afal fi shechata tila so tila. Even though he sinned in davening in such a context, he violated, let's say, Bahayama Chanecha Kadosh, that your encampment where God is present should be holy. Nonetheless, he fulfilled his obligation.
That's a strong word, no?
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah. You know, look, the way we tend to daven, you know, again, if we took davening as seriously as we should, and almost none of us do, and it's not like it's new, we've said this many times before, the Amorim themselves too, daven a lot of the time by rote, that if we took really seriously what it meant, the idea that we, and you shall talk about it, we'll see in a second, was this a place you expected or not expected to be? They're going to say it's a place where you should have expected it to be. And you didn't bother to look around, and then you just start to pray to God. That indicates a defect in your Shemayim.
That's why it's a
chait. That's why it's a chait. Rava says, how can you say, that's pretty strong, right? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. God's not interested in it. Ela amar Rava, hoel v'chata, afal pi shechala, tfilah so toeva. Even though he performed the act of davening, his tfilah is an abomination. So there's a machlokes here, actually, what it means, close opinion. Does that mean that you have to daven again? Or it means that you can't daven again because you did it already? It's like, in other words, to daven again would be like davening if you know you daven properly. In other words, you can't daven 2 kilos of chova. So on the one hand, it's not a proper davening. On the other hand, it's just enough that it prevents you from davening again. We have such a concept. To give you an example, sometimes when you separate truma, let's say when you separate truma from grain, from any produce, so you have to separate on each year's produce in its own right. I can't separate from produce of this year. I've got a pile here. I'll separate the truma for 2 piles, one of which is the produce of last year. I can't separate from grapes, you know, for the olives. I have to separate from each species in its own right, from each year in its own right. And if I designated this as truma on that pile, it's not truma. It's like I've done nothing. It's meaningless. But let's say you're also supposed to be toreim and hamokar. You're supposed to separate from the best part. So let's say I have a pile and I have really good olives and there's some garbage olives on the bottom. I decide I don't want to get the color so much. So I'm going to separate from the garbage olive. You're not allowed to be torein min hara al hayafa on the bad parts for that crop on the good ones. What happens if you did? So the Gemara says that it's done. It's an aveira, but you can't really undo it because the truma is actually it sets in, right? It takes effect. And they quote the pasuk, the los tisu alav chait, that's the last pasuk in Parshas Korach, which deals with truma, the los tisu alav chait, v'harimachem eskelbo minenu. When you separate, when you separate the best of the produce, the chela, the fat, so then the los tisu alav chait. That's the way you avoid sinning. The way the Gemara reads it is, it's eno kadosh, if it has no effect, nisiyas chait lava, what's there a sin? Just do it again. So the Gemara infers from that, no, that the truma is valid, it's chal, and therefore, and you've done a mitzvah in a bas fashion. So the grain is now exempt. It's no longer tevel. You've separated so that you can eat the rest of it, but nonetheless, you've done an aveira. That's the Nesiyas Chait. So Tosfos here, he doesn't quote that, but Tosfos writes, afalpi, that little three-line Tosfos, second one from the bottom, afalpi shisfalo, silato toeva, vahave, that's the verse from Kohelet. That which is crooked can't be fixed. Meaning, too late. You did a davening. You did a crummy davening, but you did enough of a davening that you can't daven again. That's what the approach I just explained. Then, I think the reason why the first opinion in Tosfos interprets this way is really textual. He says, "Afal pi shehispalel tfilasa tleva." It's a funny formulation. "Afal pi shehispalel." You should have said. I'll give you an example. You're not allowed to, if you drink alcohol, you're not allowed to daven. If you drink, there are 2 stages of drinking alcohol. It's a Gemara in Eruvin. I don't know why it's not in Brachos. It should be in Brachos. It's in Eruvin. Shasoi al yisparo. A shasoi means someone who has imbibed alcohol, but he's not drunk. You know, he's had a Revius or more. And let's say he had it straight, he didn't have it with food, he has to take a little nap, has to take a little walk. If you drink up at least a Revius of wine, so then you're considered a Shasui for a certain amount of time. The Gemara says, Shasui ayus palo, then he's palo tzila sotzila. He shouldn't daven, but he davens tzila sotzila. Shikur, however you define shikur, and it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be kishikuso shalot, doesn't have to be as smashed as lot was. Shikur ayus palo, so there, I understand. One may not daven, but she daven, it's tefillah. And the other one may not daven, you daven, it's an abomination. And we're going to say, once you get out of your drunken stupor, you have to daven again. But here, she says, Aval pisha hifalel, I suspect that what's maybe what's currently in the first thing. Aval pisha hifalel, he should have said, in his file, tefillah sotteva. Aval pisha hifalel, he did daven, still tefillah sotteva. I don't know if that's what prompted or whatever, that's what I assume. And that's why the first opinion post says, you daven, it's a crooked thing that can't be fixed. The davening again doesn't solve it. The repayrish, the second interpretation post is supposed to be, so you have to be silent that you have to daven again. Really what it means is, it's an invalid seal, you didn't fulfill your obligation when you daven the first time. Okay. Fine. Now post also adds, the hazebach, go to the other little post. In other words, that's only true. You're only not yotzei. It's only considered toiva if you dive in the place where you would expect it to be. But if you dive in a place where there's no expectation, it turns out as you realize, so that's not tefillah sotteva. That seems quite reasonable. Fine. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, second line from the bottom. If a person was in the middle of davening, the person had to urinate and they couldn't control themselves sufficiently. It was so much that it was starting to drip down their birkayim, would be their thighs. Now, is a crucial point to be made here that we shown them observe that min ha-Torah may be that there's no iser in this situation if it's shoseh. The only time it's usher to daven in the presence of urine is kineged ha'amud. When someone's actually urinating, there's a stream of urine. That's considered not kadosh. But this apparently, as we're going to see, is not considered mid-rabbanon, you're not allowed to daven. But apparently this is not a Torah violation. So this person, you know, started davening and they couldn't control it. So posik ashiyechlu hamayim, the person stops while that's going on until this stops, until the urine stops flowing. And then, b'chozer v'spal, then you go and you continue davening. The Gemara now wants to know, where do you go? Where do you do it? Do you have to start again? Or you just pick up where you left off? So the Gemara says on the bottom line, hey, where do you go back? One says that it means you're chozer, you're going back to your davening. You go back to the beginning of the Amida. I would say chozer mishalo doesn't mean you repeat anything. It means you go back to davening. So the question is, what is this dispute about? So the Gemara suggests the following. Lema, v'ha'kamipalki. Might we suggest, and I tell my students all the time, whenever the Gemara suggests lema, the answer is no. By definition, lema means should we say, and that means the answer is going to be no. If the Gemara suggests perhaps the point of departure, the nikuta samachlokas between these two opinions, is mar savar, the one who says that you start the Amida again is in Shahok today, Ligmar Skula, Chozer LaRosh. The question, and we're going to talk about this a little more, there's a postus on the previous page that really belongs on this page. The printers misprinted it. So let's say I'm doing a mitzvah, and I take my time doing the mitzvah. I want to read the Megillah, but you know, with Purim, and I like to drink and eat, you know, and look, I did say Shmon Esrei in the morning already, even though you're still not allowed to eat before you read the Megillah. So we read Parakalos and then we take a little break, have some shops, you know, have a little bit of a sponge cake. Okay, I know I'm dating myself 40 years ago, but, and then we read Parakalos and then, you know, we talk about the Rangers game last night and then we read Parakimel. I think it's a really long time. And let's say one of those breaks goes on for, you know, we have to take an hour break. There are a lot of issues about the Jets, right? And what's going on with them. And then, you know, I could read the Megillah even comfortably slowly in less than an hour, but you took an hour break. It's Shakide Ligmar school. I interrupted an interruption that's long enough to complete the environment. The question is, does that interruption of Shahia basically break the mitzvah, and we say that that which you did before doesn't count, and you have to start all over again. So the Gemara suggests here that the debate over this whether this person goes back to the beginning, or they just resume where they left off, is assuming it's a case where we say that he waits. He's manpid ad sheyichlu hamayim. Right? He's posek ad sheyichlu hamayim. You wait until it stops. And let's say it took 10 minutes, and most of us, probably a pretty good bet in most schools, 10 minutes is more than enough time to say the entire meeting. Probably 5 minutes is enough for most people, but certainly 10 minutes. He takes 10 minutes, and he'll finally poskim hamayim. So now, in that case, do you have to go back to the beginning, or do we say that no? That's
a case where he didn't move while urinating.
I mean, he was presumably stood in place, but we always say, is that what you're asking? Because we stand in place?
It's just the time doesn't make sense. He had to go to the bathroom.
No, he didn't go to the bathroom. That's the point.
I'm agreeing. I'm saying right. That. How does it?
So he might, listen, the truth is you're supposed to stay in a place where you got them, but let's say Kermit Schmidt's right here. And then I walk over here, just not thinking. You just continue to ask. You're not supposed to
stop from the beginning.
Right, you don't go back because you move places.
I'm just saying it's a crazy argument to think it would take him longer to pee.
Well, the question is he's not urinating. He's not going to the bathroom. He's trying to hold it up and enough urine leaks out, and now the pressure's relieved. So finally, it stops. That's I think what's going on. You know, yes, but, you know, it would. It probably would make
close.
Right,
he's trying to close the stream.
It can happen with a prostate valve, really.
Right.
So the Gemara suggests that the debate here is whether or not it's a case. It's a case where he paused long enough that he could have done the entire Amida, and the opinion that says you're chose on the Rosh believes that Shah Kidei Nigmar School, if you interrupt in the middle of a mitzvah a long enough time to have completed it, then you have to go back to the beginning. And the opinion, Umar Sabar, the second opinion, is that the point that you resume where you left off. Post on the Makom Shapatak says in Shah, the Makom Shapatak holds that you don't have to go back to the beginning of the mitzvah. You're not a Chozer LaRosh, you go to the place where you interrupted it. So if you blew a tekiah and a true and a tekiah now, and then you took a long Kiddush break, and then you blow another true tekiah, taking a long Kiddush break, plenty of time you could have completed it. So one opinion would say you have to start the tekiah over, one opinion would say you just finished the tekiah. So the Gemara turns around and says, Amar Rashi, no, that can't be the reason, that cannot be what they're arguing about. Because if that were the case, Hai im shaha in lo shaha mi boyle. The Gemara should have distinguished. It should have said that there's a distinction between whether you were shoha kedei the Gemara skula or not. But the fact is, it doesn't say that. The Brisa just says, you wait until the mayim are poskim, and that's it. And the Amoraim don't say a word about how long you waited. So it would appear that the debate is not about shaha kedei ligmar skula. That's not what the debate is about. Ela, the hulayam of the Gemara says, in shaha kedei ligmar skula, chozer l'rosh. Everybody would agree that if, in fact, you wait too long, then you start again. But b'hasam, the machlokus of these amorayim, about whether you start the shmona esrei again or you just pick up where you left off, is b'delo shaha kamapalki. They're arguing in a case where you didn't wait that long. So what is the argument then about? So the Gemara says, the Marsavar Gabra Dehuyahu Vein Roi Vein Tfilaso Tfila Umarsavar Gabra Chazyahu Tfilaso Tfila. The debate is, since the person cannot daven fundamentally at that time, because the Mayim are Shosisim, therefore the person in the middle of the Amida became unfit, unsuitable to daven at that point, and that interrupts the Amida. Even if it was only a very short time. And the other opinion says that he's considered a Gabra Chazir. Presumably, I have to check whether it's true or not, based on the comments of the Shonim, they might say that if he actually stopped to urinate outright, then if this is what the debate is about, then everybody would agree you have to go back to the beginning. Because when it's Kenege Ha'amud, I don't know what Amud means for Philip, I guess it means stream. If there's a stream, then you're not right to daven at that point. That's the way the Gemara suggests what the debate is between these two Amorai. Whether you're considered a Gabra Dechuya, whether you're sort of unfit temporarily, or whether you're a Gabra Chazi, even though you're waiting for this to stop. Now, I want to take a look at Tosos of the Kafes of the Days. It's a little bit of a hard Tosos, but it's a kind of wonderful teaching Tosos from a methodological perspective. How the Gemara here says these two Amoraim both agree that in Shahak Kibe Ligmaris Kula, that you fulfill, that you don't, that it's no good, you have to go back to the beginning. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Daf Yomi people did it not so long ago, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Shema Tisha Tekios, the Tisha Sha'osayom, if you hear the minimal nine shofar kolos over 9 hours of the day, you're yatsa. So the question is, how do you put these two pieces together? Before we talk about that, I want to just talk about something internally that Tosis is going to raise. We'll read it in a second. The Gemara had a suggestion that the debate is about A or B. It's about issue A. The Gemara then said, no, the debate is not about issue A, because everybody agrees on issue A, da-da-da-da-da. Instead, they're arguing about issue B. What does that tell us about how we should pass in on issue A? Right? The Gemara initially thought the debate was about Shahal today, Ligmar Skula, if you wait too long. The Gemara says, no, we're dealing with a case here where you didn't wait too long. And still there's a debate. So Tosis is going to start out with an assumption that the Rishonim often make, is that if the Gemara could have gone down either path, then why did the Gemara say the following? No, everybody agrees that even if you wait too long, it's not a problem. It's not an interruption. Shaka Ligmar Skula is not a problem. They're arguing about this person, whether he's a Gavra Chazia, whether he's fit, whether he's unsuitable. And if you, it's one thing when I'm blowing nine kolos and I take time off to do whatever I do. Well, I could have blown shofar then, I just chose not to. Whereas here, is this guy in this state, is he considered someone who's not right to daven? And that constitutes an interruption. Why did the Gemara go down the path of saying, do they argue about A? No. Everybody agrees A sub 1. They're arguing about B. Why did the Gemara say everybody agrees A sub 2 and they're arguing about B? Now, if in fact the Gemara had a choice, it could have equally gone down both paths, the Rishonim assume the choice to go down path A1 versus A2 tells you what the halacha is. So assuming that the Gemara could have, and that's going to be the debate in Tosafot, assuming that the Gemara had a choice to say also, no, everybody agrees Shachet Eid Ligmar Skula is not closer to Rosh. But they're arguing here about issue B, about Gavra D'chuya, Gavra Chazia. If the Gemara had that choice, that should definitively point to the fact that we should pass him in Shachir in the Raskula, Chosel the Rosh. That's what should be. If there is a reason why the Gemara couldn't have gone past A sub 2, if going down past A sub 2 would no longer allow us to say this option B, because if whatever detail, and you can find many places in Shas is the case, that the Gemara wants to explore the question, and attribute the issue of Gavra D'chuya of Gavra Chazia to this Machlok B'Samarim. The Gemara is interested in exploring that. And that's why it's doing this. If the Gemara could not have explored that issue without going down the path of A sub 1, A sub 2 would have foreclosed that option, then it tells you nothing. It's neutral about Sak Halacha, how we should pass it.
Is that a general methodological issue in the Talmud?
Yes. Absolutely. The way that we've shown it, interpret, absolutely yes. You will find this, I don't want to say hundreds of times, it might be, you will find this tens of times in the Mishonim where this is the issue exactly being considered. Whenever you have like a this or you have an intim salomar, or you have an intim salomar, sometimes, I mean, those are typically are only one path, but when an intim salomar, okay, but if you want to say this and then go down the next path, if it could have gone either way and the Gemara chose that's one, that's an indicator of Tzadik Halacha. The Mishonim frequently use this as a point of proof.
Does the Gemara ever go both ways?
I mean, the answer is you will...
But theoretically work both ways.
The answer is yes. Sometimes you get like a series of Ibar Yishemas, right? They'll say, the Gemara will say, should we say that they're arguing about, they'll Gemara say Kitanoi, and they argue like A or B, and the Gemara say, no, that can't be because you could say they're arguing about this, everybody holds one side. And they're arguing about this. The Ibar Yishemas, you can say everybody holds the other side, and then, see, you will find such things where the Gemara will flesh it out in both directions. Typically, a series of Ibar Yishemas. If you want, you could say as well. Okay. Very often you get sort of very balanced structure that way, actually. Okay, so that's the question that Tosos is facing. So I want to start, when I know if we'll finish all Tosos, I want to just look at the first approach. So Tosos presents an approach that is going to be really the Ramah's preferred approach in Shulchan Aruch. Tosos says, When the Gemara said, Ela dechule alma chozer l'rosh, this is on Chaf Beis Mabeis, it really belongs on Chaf Gimel Ma'al, but obviously when they first, the first time they printed Shas, the printer could sort of, some mistake happened, so it got printed on the wrong page, and Ad Hayom Hazeh, we continue to print it on the wrong page. That's the way it works. The printing of the Venice Shas, in the 1520s, I think was what set the datum, because they printed Gemara Rashi and Tosaf. If they censor a Gemara page, like when the Christians later censored stuff, you'll see a shorter page, but they didn't repaginate like a word processor would have done. So we stick to these dapim. So first word and last word always remain the same. So I'm guessing, I didn't look, I didn't check the facsimile of the Venice edition, but I bet you if you look at the Venice edition, you'll see that for whatever reason, the printers put Ella on the wrong page. And so that's the way we do it. Usually you'll find a note on the side. There's probably some letter in your Gemara on Tosfos where it tells you, Shayach, you know, Lakama Dach Chafkimol Amidala. It belongs on the next page. The Tosfos says on the words Ella dechule alma chos on the rosh, v'hu hadin to have a matzin le'ukme dechule alma inchot on the rosh. Tosfos claims, without explaining, the Gemara could have just as well gone down path A sub 2. It could have gone the exact opposite direction. Umi delo mogi hachi, the fact that it didn't do that, shmamina the halacha the chos on the rosh. The fact that it went down A sub 1, when it had a choice, tells you we follow A sub 1. The chen lekaman, you find it later in our sukkah, at the end of the Chasalid, the Hedya Amar Rabbi Abba, explicitly Amar Rabbi Abba, Chos al Rosh. V'tema, says Tosfos, the Menesechus Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is expressed in Friday's Da, Shema Teshit Kios, V'teshit Shal Sayom, Yasa, you fulfill your obligation, even though it took you 9 hours to blow Shofar. Alma, Kios Mitzarfos, they combine, even though they have been separated by time. So number one, you see by Kia Shofar, you take all that. The chain, the Megillah, Nami Amrinan, Amar Rav, Ein Halacha Ki Rabbi Mona, the Amar Isha Chozal Rosh. The Ka'amar Nekot the Rabbi Bibiyacha. So the Gemara says, Rav says, we don't hold like Rabbi Mona, who says that if you interrupt, if you pause in the middle enough to complete the entire thing, you go back to the beginning, we hold our Bibi's opinion, which is you don't. Now, so the question is, well, what do you do? There's a contradiction between the sugya here, the Gemara's here, talking about the person who is, you know, unable to, can sort of, that cannot keep hearing in during his amida, versus the people who spread out kia shofar and they kill all day. The Tosfos says, the Omer Hasami Kutsi, Hasami Kutsi, Kutsi was a town, I believe, in France, the Yesh Lachalek, you could distinguish the Shani Haha to Ein Ra'oi Likros. Now, you know what the difference is? Here, I could have read Megillah any time. In the clauses, it wasn't like I wasn't suitable, I wasn't able halachically to read Megillah. I was just embodied. But in our Gemara, you're not able, you're not kosher to read Kriyashma during this time. And you'll see the example is back to quote that he referred to from later, is also a situation, a physical place in which you're not allowed to read Kriyashma because it's not. So if that's the case, so the Sami Kutsi says, listen, if you're roughly to do the mitzvah of the time, but you choose not to, you still fulfill the out, you can still, it's not an interruption. But the inability to perform the mitzvah during that time creates a hefsek, it prevents combination, to do 9 kolos, and if you had some reason you weren't roy in between, it wouldn't be 9 kolos, it would be 1 and 1 and 1 and 1. So here, when you split your amida in a situation, at least according to these Amarim, you split it up. At that time, you're not able to daven, and therefore that breaks your tefillah, and it's not one whole tefillah. So he says, the chayim lekama, the Rabbi Abahu, Azar, the Mavos, Hamasunapos, the Hasan Kulei Alma, Modu the Chozal Rosh, because you're not allowed to say Kriyashma then. Aval Heifcha, the Gavra Chazi, what's that?
Not Kriyashma, tefillah.
That's tefillah, or that was Kriyashma, but he would say the same thing. I want to make a point here, which is, Tosfos is not interested in distinguishing between different kinds of mitzvahs. That possibility right. We're going to talk about next time.
He's looking at the Gavra.
He's looking right. He wants to say that all mitzvahs are the same, therefore there must be some other distinction, which is the person able to do the mitzvah at that particular time? So he says that there, Avaheka the Gavra Chazi, when a person is suitable, can do the mitzvah, can go Megillah Shofar, Kulei Alma Modu, the Eino Chozer LeRosh, Ela LeMachom Shepasa. A person does not have to go back to the beginning. They can simply pick up where they left off. Now,
so
one
goes back. It goes against what you went, right?
What's that?
It goes against saying that we look at it only one way.
No, no, Tosis is saying, the way we know, the Gemara here suggests that there is a dispute, and we'll see it later, or with Tava, I think that might be a dispute that story is already about. There's a dispute, the Gemara suggests here, whether Shah chos on the Rosh or not chos on the Rosh. And Tosis is saying, we paskin that way here. We paskin that way here, even though there might be an opinion that says you don't have to go back to the beginning, because when you are not suitable to do the mitzvah, when there's an interruption that makes you unsuitable, then we paskin choser l'rosh. The reason why in Rosh Hashanah and Megillah we paskin not choser l'rosh is because in those places you were able to do so. So we are, Larry, paskin the Esav 1 against Esav 2. But Tosis is saying that the debate between choser l'rosh and eino choser l'rosh here is even in a makom that's not fit, or a person who's not fit to actually do the mitzvah. Then if there's an opinion there that would say you're still not chos on the rosh, the Tosafot says because of this Gemara, we paskin that if you are not suitable to do the mitzvah, then you are chos on the rosh. But if not, the Gemara is not talking about Peter. It's a totally different case. That's why the Megillah and Shofar is okay. Note, and this is the last thing I'll say, I'm going to save the last part of the Tosafot for next year. It's a very, very hard piece to understand. But notice that Tosafot lumps together both my being physically unsuitable, meaning the gaver is not chazi truly because he's the one who is dribbling, you know, or dripping urine, versus the Gemara later, Mavos HaMutunapos, where you are perfectly suitable, but you happen to be walking through the sewage plant or something like that. So it's not illogical. What it would mean then is that it doesn't make a difference about you personally. If you are in a situation where you are not able to read it, because of the environment, because of you, then that's an interruption in the middle, and you have to be chosen. Okay. Any questions?
And that's true, even if you were not sure today, Ligmoris Kula.
Correct. Even if you're not sure.
The stool in the Gavra, it takes the role of sure today, Ligmoris Kula.
So you asked that. It's such a good question. Now I don't understand process. I'm going to have to figure that out for next week. Larry was, I guess, pushing that way. Is that what Tosis means?
We say that.
The question, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but it looks to me. Larry, you're driving at this. Once you say what Tosis says, why does the Gemara have to say, Shah today? In other words, in the conclusion of the Gemara is that even if you didn't wait the requisite amount of time, you still, there's still a machlokas. So I think I know what the answer might be. I'll go over this next week. I'll tell you what I think quickly. According to our Gemara, everybody agrees in Shah Kadeh Ligmar Skula, you have to go back to the beginning.
You would
have to go back to the beginning. In our Gemara. In other words, we would paskin that in a case where you're Shah Kadeh Ligmar Skula, you would definitely have to go back to the beginning if you're not suitable to do it then. If you didn't delay long enough, so that's a machlokas, right? Then you have to figure out how to paskin. But we could theoretically paskin like the Gemara tells him, Chisra Hamuna. We could, in fact, I see the letter in the Gemara, but I have to check the Shulchan Aruch. The letter in the Gemara implies, I did look at the Shulchan Aruch, but I didn't process this when I looked at it. The Gemara, the os on the bottom suggests that we paskin the following. If I have urine, if I'm, you know, a dripping urine, and I stop for that reason during an amida, if I take less than 3 minutes doing that, or 4 minutes doing that, however long it takes me to daven, I don't have to go back to the beginning. I pick up where I left off. But in that case, if I took too long, then I would have to go back. Right? So that's the answer. The answer is no. That's a solo machlokes. If you wait less than shah tzedin mar skula, so then that's a machlokes, and we might actually pass it. In that case, you don't go back to the beginning, you pick up where you left off.
So we know, for example, just not the praying the bathroom, right?
Right.
Where does that, is that the second
here? Well, it does. We're going to have to talk about that as we go through the sigils and what's the status for our bathrooms. Some argue that our bathrooms were different. But yes, it's all based upon this sigil.
And toiva abomination, isn't there a word toiva desire?
No, that's abomination. Okay.
Okay,
very good.
Thank you very much.